Hi, I'm Jason Newlander, and I've created a new fictional podcast on the oneofus.net podcast network called Salt. If you're a fan of crime noir with a little sci-fi thrown in, then I think this just might be your thing. Jean-Pierre Desperoir is a Haitian-born salt smuggler living in 1931 Tunis and born during a voodoo ritual with the uncanny ability to travel through space and time. Think The Big Sleep meets 12 Years a Slave meets Doctor Who, and you've got the idea. 20 half-hour episodes tell the first season story, and I promise it's a doozy. Salt podcasts every other week on the oneofus.net podcast network. Subscribe today.
To see a movie called Sex Tape, like having Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel on the poster is not exactly selling me on the hotness of it.
Well, there's one half of that sentence I can believe you on.
Well, sure, if it had been 15 years ago, Cameron Diaz, Jason Segel probably would have been a teenager, but...
Cameron Diaz has really only ever been attractive to me in The Mask, and that was her first movie.
So what about Charlie's Angels?
No.
Not really.
It's literally been all downhill from her very first movie.
The thing about her is, like, when she is smiling and a happy character, she's actually, like, she lights up a room.
She does.
You know, yeah. She really does. But with the moment she starts trying to be dramatic, she's just the shrieking harridan of a character in almost everything I see her do. And this is, like, no exception, except that at least for half of this film, we see her as, like, a character. You're like, oh, wow, I'm actually... enjoying Cameron Diaz in this movie, and then she turns into the shrieking harridan again.
Yeah.
we have different opinions on that. That's all I'm going to say.
That's okay, Elliot. I mean, you have the hots for Frank Grillo, too, so that's...
Yeah, well, there, that is that.
This is... I'm Chris.
J.C. DeLeon.
And obviously, that's Elliot over there.
Semicolon.
the semicolon. You're only half an ass.
No, I'm an ass that gets extended and doesn't quit.
Oh, okay, sure, if you say so. This is the latest film from Jake Kasdan, who I was like, where do I know that name? Is he related to Lawrence Kasdan? He's not related to Lawrence Kasdan, is he?
Maybe, I mean...
I don't think he is. But, oh yeah, he is, I'm sorry.
He's the son
of Lawrence Kasdan.
There you go.
Who is, obviously had a huge career in film. And he's married to one of the people from the band The Bird and the Bee, who are great, and did an entire cover album of nothing but, God, what the hell is the name of them? The guys who did Private Eyes.
Hall & Oates?
Hall & Oates songs. They did a whole album of nothing but Hall & Oates covers.
Good Lord.
Which is great. But Kasdan did the film Zero Effect, which you've heard Martin Thomas and I talk about finally a billion times with Bill Pullman. Orange County, TV
which I
set,
like a lot.
Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story, and Bad Teacher.
Which I like a lot.
And he's also worked a lot with Judd Apatow as a producer on Freaks and Geeks, a director on Undeclared. And it's no big surprise. That
what was the name of that show?
Undeclared?
No, what was the name of that show?
Freaks and Geeks?
Undeclared. I'm doing a who's on.
Is that really?
I was doing a who's on first thing.
Sit down, semicolon. It's no real surprise watching this that the ghost of Judd Apatow, as it were, remains heavy over the production. I mean, not at least the fact that Siegel has worked so closely with Apatow over the years. This feels like it might as well be a Judd Apatow film.
With all the familiar players, it just kind of... Yeah, I didn't do the research going into to see who it was directed by, but I was kind of like... Judd Apatow's name's got to be somewhere on these credits.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that was missing from being a Judd Apatow film is, I mean, I feel like this movie... I was talking to Martin, actually, after. I feel like it was really stretched. We agreed on that. But the Judd Apatow movie would have had... After the end, it would have had another 30 minutes.
True.
That you're like, okay, this is a different movie now.
Because it's 94 minutes, but it actually felt a lot shorter than that. To me,
it felt long.
Really, because I didn't even really... I only enjoyed about half of this, but even so, I was like, really? That's it? At the end? I felt like it flew by, kind of. But anyway, the story here is about Jay and Annie. Cameron Diaz is Annie, and Jason Segel is Jay. And we see them when they first meet back in presumably college.
Yeah, they meet right in college. Yeah, they're the college sweethearts.
And it's all showing this in flashback as she's writing her blog about the first... What did you think the first time you ever saw your husband naked? And it goes back where they're just having crazy sex all the time.
Which is accurate when you're in college.
Yeah, when you're that age.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean I get to do this all the time?
Yeah.
And, like, my parents aren't anywhere around and I can just do this?
And, you know, it goes along from that to where, like, they're getting older and they're still very much in love and all that, but they have kids and there's never time. And then it's a point where you have to write on your schedule planner when you think you might have time to have sex. I mean, it's a cliche in and of itself, but you have two actors that are at their most charming in these sequences, even though the CG on their faces that they're using to kind of, like, you know, it's like Photoshop's, like a smearing where it's like, guys, this is creeping me out a bit. This is like when they made Patrick Stewart look young.
A little bit.
Movie. It's like, stop it. It looks just looks funky.
Because, you know? I mean, what's his name? Jason Segel looked old when he was young.
Yeah.
He's always looked old.
Yeah, and then they tried to skinny his face up, and it just looks odd. Yeah. Cameron Diaz looked okay, but he looked weird. But regardless, it's a very tiny part of the film, and it goes to modern day, and they're both like, what are we going to do? Our lives are what they are. He works as, it's not clear, is he working at a recording studio? Well, is he at a radio station?
He has a movie job where you make a bunch of money working at a radio station, doing nothing.
Doing nothing. Yeah. Like this wonderful, where he goes to see concerts and goes out in like a recording studios and gets free iPads every time they put
it.
Yeah.
Whatever it was that Paul Rudd did in
This Is 40.
Right, and, right. Yeah.
Like. And then Cameron Diaz apparently is a housewife who is writes this blog and is trying to sell the blog. And I laughed out loud. She's like, I think they're going to buy my blog for a lot of money. I'm just, good luck. It's like, yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah,
maybe 10 years ago, honey. But her blog about being a mom, and one of the funnier characters in this is the guy who's the owner of this company that's trying to buy it, played by Rob Lowe, who initially comes in basically like his character on From Parks and Rec.
Just
this guy who's sweet and loves everybody, but he is like self-controlled to a fault.
Sam Seaborn pumped to 11.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who comes back later as in the film as well. We'll get to that. But they are trying to spice up their sex life, and they go, and because they're finally at night to have sex, and nothing is working, and finally they're like, why don't we use one of these iPads, which, by the way, obviously paid money to be part of this.
Good lord.
The product placement is like, even Martin at one point was like, seriously tone it down out loud at one point. There's a point where one gets cracked, dropped out the window, and Jason Segel picks it up, he goes, wow, these things are really durable and well made. You're like, seriously?
Yeah, which, fun fact, they're not. What? You toss someone out the window like that, it's going to break.
Well, I mean, they even have...
I mean, unless it lands on the lead ape from Dawn of the Apes.
Hey. They're going to move fast. They even do like they even do shout outs to specific porn sites.
Yeah, like every one of them.
Like they go like through all of them. And I'm like, no, they're actually
although they probably didn't pay to be in the movie.
YouPorn probably paid.
YouPorn may have paid. That's true. I mean, just the idea that somewhere behind it, Jack Black is running it is like enough to make me want to go, I'm going to check out YouPorn.
I mean, if you got to.
I'm switching from xvideos.com right now. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
This is not the greatest porn site of all time. It's just a tribute.
Nice. But they make the sex tape on their iPad, and it actually worked for them. They're like, oh, wow, that actually was really hot. And, you know, as they're lying there afterwards, she's like, you're going to delete that right away, right? Which, you know, yeah, the guys are like going, yeah, of course, honey, no fucking way. Any guy ever told you he deleted a sex tape you made, ladies? That shit is still
watch
on its
them
hard
delete
drive.
It.
Yeah, you and you know what? You better stay with them every second up until that point.
Watch them delete it and then make sure they write over that data because they can then because all deletion does is it takes the file association away. You can come back and get the data until it's been written over.
Yeah, make sure he throws the computer
exactly.
in the ocean.
Yeah.
And it wasn't hooked up to the internet at the time, because otherwise, 20 years later, he's all fat and gross and like wrinkly. He's still going to be sitting there masturbating to 17-year-old you, I'm saying.
Guys will turn into fucking, like, rocket scientists to be like, okay, well, the particles are arranged this way. If I do this, it'll get it right back to me.
Exactly. But he doesn't want to send it to anyone. He wants to keep it. Of course, he's a guy. Of course he does. But he's really an idiot when it comes to computers, somehow considering that clearly his job involves computers and sharing and streaming and stuff. And he gets these free iPads, and he always says, oh, I give all the old ones away to people, which, yeah, right, okay, sure. But
and why are you getting that many iPads?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, really? Your job lets you just write that off? You just get new iPads?
Like,
what do you do?
Yeah.
I want your job.
Seriously.
And, like, because of his streaming service, they all, every single iPad that he's given out over the years, which are apparently many, it gets automatically sent to all, everything on his computer got sent to them. You'd think this would have come up before now. Someone would have gone, hey, dude, I think you should know there's like a bunch of fucking like files and shit on your computer that are popping up on my iPad. But
well, he does kind of explain that in the sense.
Oh, yeah, he says he just got a new version of the app.
Well, because whatever he does is involved with music. And so he's like, I give it to people so that they can have access to my music.
But I mean,
and yeah,
and
which is illegal, by the way.
But here's the thing: I know, coming from me, this is going to sound weird. If you start pulling at that thread, this entire movie falls apart.
Oh, well, oh, the yeah. whole thread. The problem with this film is the first act of it, before it leads up to the crisis, where they're like, "We've got to find all the iPads so we can delete it." Like, it's actually kind of a nice, sweet little movie that's sexy and fun and has lots of charisma coming from its characters. We introduce Rob Corddry and Ellie Kemper as a married couple friends of
great
theirs.
Great side characters.
Yeah.
Like, they're like the all-star comedic best friends.
And I'm really enjoying it up until the point where suddenly the main characters start acting like blithering idiots.
Well, the scene where they completely lift a scene from Father of the Bride. Where he's running through the house and the dogs chase after him, and he literally falls the exact same way.
I guess I've never actually seen Father of the Bride, so I actually thought that scene was one of the better scenes in this movie.
No, it's like straight lifted, because like there's a scene in Father of the Bride where he's trying to find out how much money his potential son-in-law's father makes. And so
he's sneaking around the house.
He's sneaking around the house, and these Dobermans start chasing him, and he falls in the pool.
Well, that's the thing, is like it's not so much what happens to them. Like, I actually kind of like the set pieces,
yeah,
on the whole. It's just that, like I said, it becomes such a kind of fun movie into this, these characters making incredibly stupid decisions that are, like even somebody who only kind of halfway understood computers would go, you know what, I'm going to Google this before we
exactly
start driving all over the city trying to take back iPads from everyone I've ever given them to.
Or going, you know, to offices.
I mean,
and
even the movie realizes how stupid this is in the third act and has a character point out how dumb it is, and it feels like just lazy writing and trying to excuse lazy
It feels like
writing.
A cheat.
Yeah, it feels totally like a cheat. You're like, seriously?
It's like you can't... I think it's called hanging a lantern on it, where you let the audience know you're in on it, but it has to be something that's sort of cute. It can't be the entire fucking thing.
Yeah, it's the linchpin of the entire plot. And they continue to make really stupid, like, no one would ever do that, decisions after that, as the plot thickens, as they find out who the person is. Shut up. As they find out who the person is in their life that actually saw the tape and is, like, basically blackmailing them over it. So it makes me angry when they make characters this dumb. You know, they Homer Simpsonize them.
And you hit it on the head. That's exactly what they do. Like, they turn Jason Segel's character Jay into Homer Simpson at one point.
And they flip-flop it too many times, because at times he's being rational and kind of smart, and she's way irrational and really dumb about the whole thing. And then in the very next scene, she'll be the calm and collected one, and he'll have no idea how to function in society.
Well, yeah, it felt terribly written, as if they were unclear which character was saying, what lines were written for which character. You know,
they could
might
just
as well be the same person at points, which could be funny if that was a bit joke in there. Like, oh, you live together long enough, you become, like, identical in some ways. But it's not. It's just poor writing. It did keep winning me back at points. Like I said, there's a sequence where they go to Rob Lowe's house and, you know, like I said, is playing this totally sweet, very self-controlled, very, you know, runs a very family a company. And then, like, he's like, oh, yeah, come on in. You want to listen to some music? And it's, like, fucking Slayer blasting. Yeah. He's like, hey, you want to do some coke?
He's like, what?
Wait, what? And it actually, the sequence is one of those that could have gone way out of control in a very obvious, dumb sort of way. And it actually ended up being kind of fun, with that intercut with Siegel being chased by a, you know, very slapsticky sequence, with him being chased around the sequence by a killer German Shepherd.
And that's why I would say I don't. That's why, ultimately, I would recommend you go see this movie, like, probably see it when it comes out in rental, because it's very hit and miss. If you like these set pieces, you're going to be laughing all the way through it. I didn't really enjoy the set piece, and there's like a running joke through it that Rob Lowe's character likes to put himself in paintings of scenes of Disney movies.
Yeah, that goes on too long.
Yeah, and if that really hits for you, you're going to love, like, the middle 30 parts of this movie. It just didn't hit for me. But that's why, you know, for me, I'd be like, you know, check it out from Redbox, or when you catch it on Netflix. That's safe. And you'll, it'd be, Worst case scenario, it'll be something that you wasted a few hours on. Best case scenario, you found this thing that you love, that you laughed your ass off at 11 o'clock at night on a Tuesday watching Netflix.
And it's going for that recent market of, like, we need to have hard R comedies again.
Yeah.
You know, and even so, even though there's no other than butt nudity in this.
Which I think for a movie called Sex Tape, you need that was a little cheap. Like,
I mean, it's everything but, I mean, so to speak.
Well, I mean, Jason Segel usually will show everything.
Well, that's true. He usually doesn't care, but you don't even see Segel's wiener in this one.
Sorry, ladies.
But the degree of discussion about sex is pretty damn filthy in here.
Yes, it is.
no question about it. And the insinuations are extremely filthy. It's not for kids on any level.
Well, speaking of not for kids, before our screening started, we had a sex therapist come talk to our screening, which was the height of hilarity.
Which I saw one person on Twitter in another city say, we had the same thing in our screening, so that must
have been a thing they set up.
The studio must have found their sex therapist to, like, speak in front of every screen.
And I have some questions. I picked some questions off Twitter, and they were, like, the most generic sex questions.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is should be fun, but it feels like because of the question she picked, it's just someone reading out loud stuff from a textbook in front of a class of fifth graders.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, in my sex ed class in school, they didn't explain the do's and don'ts of anal sex, but,
well.
I felt like I was watching Clerks 2 at one point.
It's because you went to school in Texas.
That's true.
Go to school in Virginia. That's first.
Yeah. Well, you know, West Virginia.
Because you're living near D.C., you're going to get fucked in the ass at some point. You know, I guess I think I like this movie a little bit better than you guys did. I still like it. I mean, sitting next to Martin, he was just steaming. I could tell because I know that this was hitting on all the same things that drive him crazy.
Oh yeah,
that drive me crazy. But it actually kept having those points where I was like, I gotta admit, there's stuff all the way through this that keeps happening that is genuinely funny. It's just the plot in and of itself is so insipid and ridiculous that I just. We're just irritated. And going to final thoughts here, I'm just going to say, I think that this could have been really good. There's enough stuff in here that is funny as hell. There's enough good actors in this that are really talented people that I think this could have been a big comedy hit this year. But as it is, it's just kind of a middling one.
Mm-hmm.
There's just way too much wrong with this. And I'm not sure, like I said, a lot of the stuff in here, that to believe the setups, you have to be kind of young. And this shouldn't be seen by really young people. So I'm going to actually give this 6 inches out of 10 flaccid penis.
You took the rating that everybody was going to do.
Elliot.
Okay, what I would say is, and I'm going to echo a lot of what Chris said, I told this to JC when I walked out of the theater, I feel like I watched somebody strike out 2 out of 3 times. And strikeout, I mean, is that they really put their back into it and was trying to hit it out the park. They were trying for a hangover, and they ended up with something just sort of mediocre. They were really trying for that. Because like the hangover, they don't show you the tape until the very end, and it's sort of a mystery where
they're
it went.
Hitting a lot of those same notes.
Yeah, and just it's very uneven. And for me, a lot of the comedy didn't hit. So for me, I'm going to give it 5 out of 10. You should wait to watch this on Netflix at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday.
That's a thing that you can numerize?
I'm going to start numerizing that now. That's what I'm going to do.
Fair
it's happening.
Enough. It's a bit of a reach there, semicolon.
It's a reach around.
Oh, nice. Okay. I'll give you that. Should have gone with 6 out of 10 reach arounds.
There we go.
There you go.
JC.
So with comedies, I always talk about how I put a lot of stock into something that I can rewatch over and over again. And I can't really see myself going back and rewatching this. It was a little bit better than I thought it was going to be. Some of the jokes hit... everything with Rob Corddry and Ellie Kemper hits really well. So does the stuff with Rob Lowe. As I think with most comedies, but it's clearly evident here. I think there are a lot of jokes that were running jokes that just might not have worked in other screenings. Like Rob Lowe's character keeps mentioning his wife's name. His wife has a really strange name, like for some reason, and so does his kids, and that never really pays off.
Yeah, there's a couple different sequences that feel like setups for things that never go anywhere.
Yeah. And so that's kind of the crux of these comedies that let a lot of improv and things like that happen. I'm sure a lot of it just doesn't work and it just ends up on the cutting room floor. But yeah, I mean, slightly better than I thought it was going to be. I can't off the top of my head think of, other than like 22 Jump Street, what some of the better comedies are this year. So this isn't quite up there, but it's not really anything like the worst thing you'll see this year either. I would give it 5 out of 10 porn sites.
And I agree with your rating there, JC. And what I want to say is a nice meta comment. I want to salute the casting director for casting Rob Lowe in a movie about a sex tape.
Oh, because
right? That's awesome.
I didn't even occur to me about that. I'm surprised it took a lot of self-restraint for them, I'm sure, not to just cast him as Rob Lowe.
Yeah. Well, know? it's like in Black Swan when you have a scene where somebody's stealing from a Nota writer. It's like,
Speaking of sex tape, where's your cat?
Leave Monkey
you
alone.
Stay away from Monkey.
Get your hands off him, you
You tell him, semicolon.